Brought to you by Grow Generation. Today's episode of the Cantina is, whether on Dagobah or Tatooine you are, everything you need to grow right where you are, they have. Later in the episode, more on them you will hear.
Welcome to a galaxy far, far away. Here at the Cantina Podcast, we provide top shelf service, including rumors, leaks, news, and reviews. Come in, order a Loman Ale, and remember, no droids allowed. Thank you, everyone, for joining us here on the Cantina, here on the Genreverse Podcast Network, wherever you're getting your podcast from, the YouTube channel, Genreverse Podcast Network, work on YouTube, powered by the big, great granddaddy of all entertainment website. Not really. It's been around 20-some-odd years, though. LRMonline.com. Make sure you guys are checking that out every day for all of your entertainment news, needs, and opinions, especially business-oriented gaming articles and pieces, because, well, Kyle's right. If you want to know what I'm talking about, go to LRMonline.com and check out the piece on PlayStation Plus and Xbox Game Pass, or Microsoft Game Pass. Anyways, I'm Kyle Malone, Malone@thatKyleMalone on Twitter, joined, as usual, by my partner in crime, Cam Clark, at LRM_Cam on Twitter as well. Whew, man. A lot of Star Wars news this week, huh?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, the Obi-Wan Kenobi press tour is in full swing. So we're getting lots of comments, opinions, basically copy from the stars, the directors, producers, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So that's certainly kind of filling up the pages. And then a few other little bits and bobs as well to kind of fill in.
So, yeah, we got some Ahsoka casting.
Ahsoka started, so
yeah, you know. Ahsoka casting rumors and that filming has started, and we'll discuss a bit about the casting for Ahsoka later. But then we got some stuff on Feige's Star Wars movie with Michael Waldron writing. But let's start with Kenobi. It's what are we, today's the 12th, so just two weeks away tomorrow, and stuff is starting to come out more and more, making me worried. But I'm curious as to your thoughts on this first story, Cam.
Where are we going first?
Obi-Wan thought Vader was
okay.
Dead.
Right.
Go ahead and pitch the story, and I'll tell you kind of like my thought on it before.
So I'll talk through the story, then you'll kind of jump in with an opinion. Got it. So this was Deborah Chow, who directs Obi-Wan Kenobi, was speaking to EW recently, and she was talking about where kind of Obi-Wan's headspace is right now. And she confirmed, which maybe to her is quite a small detail, but it's really quite important in terms of the entire kind of Star Wars canon, if you like. And she said, at this point, both for him, Obi-Wan, obviously, in the galaxy, it's a dark period, and that actually made it really interesting to be telling a story in this period. It's a time when the Empire's ascending. It's post-Order 66. So most of the Jedi have been killed. A lot of them are being hunted by the Inquisitors. So it's a very tough time to be a Jedi, and most of them are hiding or dead. For him, at this point, 10 years later, we're dealing with post-Order 66, after Anakin, who he believes he killed, and then all his friends. Everybody's sort of gone or hiding. So it's a tough period for Obi-Wan. And obviously, where this is interesting is because if we take what we've had on screen at the moment, which was Revenge of the Sith, and then the next time we see these two together is A New Hope, obviously. And this comes in between that. There's nothing specifically, it was definitely open to interpretation about whether Obi-Wan actually knew that he had left Anakin for dead, or whether Anakin had actually survived at that point. However, what was very clear, I think, for me anyway, and you can jump in a second, is that in A New Hope, that version of Obi-Wan was not surprised to see Vader the way he was. And he knew the suit didn't shock him in any way or anything like that either.
Nope. Go for it. So, here's the thing. We know Luke hid himself from the Force in the sequel trilogy, you know, making sure others couldn't track him down. But why would Anakin hide himself? I need to know why, because they always talk about the brotherhood and the connection, and one thing about the Force is that ability to sense those close to you. Now in the EU they explain it a lot more of making yourself tiny within the Force, mm-hmm. to hide yourself, but they kind of glance over it for sequels. I always just kind of assumed that technique would continue to exist. But again, well, why would Vader do it at this point? Or
I don't think that's the way they've gone, but carry on.
Well, the other opposite is, well, if they explain Obi-Wan making himself tiny in the Force, part of that in the EU was not only did it hide you from others, but it made your awareness sphere smaller too, mm-hmm. which means you couldn't reach out to others. So I need a good explanation. It can't just be he left him on Mustafar.
You're thinking EU, but actually this whole making yourself small in the Force thing, the only time we have seen that done in the true canon, which is always the movies trump everything else,
right,
is Luke. And what Luke actually did was shut himself off completely from the Force.
Completely. That's what I'm saying. I need some sort of explanation for this, because I don't buy him leaving Mustafar and not knowing. And again, like,
is it not possible that the connection that he did have with Anakin is different based on what happened between them?
Maybe, but then
he didn't feel Anakin turn to the dark side. He never felt that change, did he? You know. Also, with Revenge of the Sith, when Anakin turns, Obi-Wan is not there. He had concerns about him as a friend and as a pupil. He was worried about what would happen, but he never thought.
This is the bad writing of the prequels.
He never thought he would go that far, and he is not like suddenly aware. Like, the only person who kind of has some sort of sense of feeling Anakin turning anyway is Yoda in Episode mm-hmm. 2. When he feels Anakin's burst to the dark side when he kills the Tuskens. Other than that, you know, we don't really see anything. So it is quite possible that when someone, and this has never been explained, turns to the dark side, bear in mind that they explain all throughout the prequels that the Jedi are having a real problem sensing the dark side, because the dark side is growing. So he can't sense the dark side growing in Anakin.
Which and never made sense.
None of them
with,
know
but
Palpatine is who he is, and they're with him all the time. Yoda, Mace Windu, Obi-Wan, mm-hmm. Anakin himself, you know, has no awareness of what Palpatine is at this point. So Anakin is essentially, especially after the point that Obi-Wan's cut him up, you know, he is Darth Vader. He's not Anakin anymore. Mm-hmm. So it is possible that he just wouldn't have felt that connection go away and just assume that he had died. I don't see it as being a plot hole. That's what I'm trying to say.
It's
even
a cop out.
I don't think
it's a cop out to fit it into episode 4's very obvious conversation that he knew he was alive. Oh, well, he thought he was dead, but he finds out in this show.
That's different, though. All right. And then, that's different.
What about galaxy news and stuff? This is 10 years, and we know Vader was not standing still. He was everyone
but
in the Empire. Hold on,
figure.
Yeah, yes. So you're telling me the man that's set to defend Luke Skywalker until he's come of age doesn't have his finger on the pulse of what's going on in the galaxy, while Vader and his Inquisitors and all the stuff that you see in the comics and read about or see in Rebels and all of that, Ahsoka and all of that crap, Darth Maul, everything. Well, the Darth Maul stuff's later than 10 years, but everything before up to this 10 year point, you're telling me Obi-Wan doesn't get any freaking news, doesn't put
2 and 2 to get. I mean, I don't buy it, man.
Tatooine's a shithole in the middle of nowhere. That's
everyone's there, though. The smugglers are. All the information is there. Everything you need info wise.
Talking about what's happening in the Galactic Republic.
Vader's an Iron Fist, and he worked with smugglers. He worked with Aphra. We know the Empire keeps tabs on stuff there. Like I said, man, and that's all canon stuff. That's all canon stuff.
I get. I always saw Vader as being the way if Palpatine treats his apprentices as you go off. And
he
do
wasn't
the
hidden.
Work,
what,
you know?
Where was he hidden? Hit all the
Empire's different.
Nothing was
because
hidden.
He was to do people in the Empire. They absolutely know of Darth Vader, but your average Joe on Tatooine, I'm not necessarily sure they've heard of Darth
it's
Vader.
It's not about the average Joe. It's the fact that Tatooine is a hub for information because of the criminal underworld. And again, looking at the canon comics, stuff like Rebels, Bad Batch, I'm not sure if Vader was in it or not, but still have these events going on that are big galactic events. Word is going to make it. And not only that, but if you've got a mission to protect someone or something, You are going to seek out information. You'll go to the HoloNet and download the most recent news article. It's not like Tatooine isn't connected to the outside world. So all he's got to do is look it up.
What's he look up? What's he going to do? You know,
the fact that there's this big badass out there doing things, right? It would get around. It would be known. People would be
he kind of knows already.
Putting two and two together.
The galaxy, though, you know, and that the Empire's in control. What is there to do but stay where he is and keep an eye out? He doesn't know what to do.
It makes no sense to me. It doesn't. Between, like I said, I need an explanation. The idea that Obi-Wan Kenobi left him on Mustafar. And without saying something like the changes, but even with the changes, I would still be like, well, he could connect enough lines and stuff like that because he's gonna want to keep tabs on the Empire, especially people hunting down Jedi and stuff to make sure his own ass is covered, to make sure Luke's ass is covered. Maybe I'm thinking of it too much from an actual intelligence and operative point of view, but
yeah,
I think this type of
play it as Tatooine's just so in the middle of nowhere that nobody's ever going to go and find them there. You know, I know it.
I don't buy.
Crazy
no,
when that's
not even
that
how spies
so
operate,
much,
man.
But,
that's. I don't know, Cam. It's a big
galaxy. You know, it's not like trying to hide on one planet.
But they don't make any. Vader's all over that galaxy from Revenge of the Sith until
and you're in France, but this is all happening in America. You're going to see shit in the paper and you're going to put two and two together. But I'm not saying it wouldn't happen, but
it's a
stretch. There's no guarantee that Obi-Wan goes and goes, I think I'll go into town, have a check on the Holo Internet or whatever the hell.
Oh, I'm going to. Why wouldn't you want to know if the Empire's found more Jedi? Propaganda is always got some nuggets of truth in it, and you definitely want to know what the Empire is up to related to. It gives him the opportunity to do a risk assessment. Do I need to move? Do I need to move Luke? Do we need to, you know, do I need to call in a favor? You need that type of information when you're in hiding.
I think you're definitely looking at it too realistic, like what you would
but
do
I can't,
in this situation.
I can't help it,
you know,
because the
how
whole
you
show
would really do it.
The
know?
Whole show is based on fitting in between these lines of a new hope,
we're
and that's my biggest
to,
fear. So we'll have
I mean,
to see.
Obviously, if it destroys the canon, it destroys the canon. We all hear it. And that's
the canon's whatever it needs to be.
But I think we need to give it a little bit more leeway than we would maybe. I don't know. I mean, we give all these shows a lot of leeway. We do.
I know.
You know, Star Trek does this. You know, Stranger Things does this. You know, people just, you know, they don't necessarily have every detail planned out in advance with these big franchises. The Marvel Cinematic Universe has done it many times.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
if we applied that kind of logic to the MCU, you're fucked. You know,
I tear those up all the time.
I mean, that's the thing. And I think we have to not be suddenly you know, criticizing Star Wars the way we would a technical manual, if you like, compared to but giving Marvel a free pass to go, it's Marvel, they can do whatever they want, you know?
I don't say that. I don't say that. And again, it's annoying because it's another thing where you're like, okay, I see where you're bending, but did you really have to bend? And it all comes back to the original question. Why the hell did we need this story, Vader and Obi-Wan? We didn't.
What's going to happen is
any other Obi-Wan story.
Either after we've finished watching the show, I turn around and say, I loved that, and I am prepared to accept all the little details because it was fucking great, and I'm so glad they made that. Or I didn't particularly like that, and then it'll be more of an issue. Yeah. It's all going to be dependent on how the show goes and whether it ticks the boxes and is an exciting ride and something that was got real rewatchability, you know, something that you and I can say, you know, don't watch the prequels anymore, but we'll watch Rogue One. But actually, no, we started at Obi-Wan Kenobi, and we watched Obi-Wan Kenobi, and then we watched Rogue One, and so on and so forth, and maybe Andor comes into that as well, you know, and it builds up. That's what I'm looking for. It builds up to the Star Wars parts of the franchise that I enjoy, you know, and it can connect that for us. But it's whether it achieves it or not. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I've said since the beginning, I'm afraid, I'm scared 100%, but I'm hoping for the best. Just like No Way Home. I was one of the biggest keep your expectations tampered down, ladies and gentlemen. This is a big bird to land. This is even bigger because you have a canon that you're butting up against, a set of events that already exist. Unlike No Way Home, where you're like, oh, I just don't know how all the nostalgic aspects of it are going to land. This has got the nostalgia plus the story. But
talking about the nostalgia of it all, let's stop arguing with each other and go on to a subject where we something actually we agree with on. Each other.
Yes.
Which is the second part of our Kenobi coverage, which was a certain Mr. Hayden Christensen speaking with Total Film Magazine recently, and he was talking about the kind of fighting style of this compared to... Now, every Star Wars fan knows we've got a fighting style in the prequels, we've got a fighting style in the original trilogy, and then we've got something in the sequel trilogy, which is more like the original trilogy, but kind of jazzed up a little bit, you know, for modern works.
Yeah, it's a lot heavier. It feels almost like knights fighting versus fencing
you
or
and
epi.
I have always been on the same boat on this one. We are OT, and even the sequel trilogy, as much as we didn't like the movies, we liked the fighting.
The duels are great, right, man.
So we've always very much agreed on that. And our navigator, who is here occasionally with us, Shoki, is the opposite to us, though. He thinks that he's still got the love for the OT, because it's the OT. But he thinks the sequel trilogies are a little bit boring. And he much prefers the combat that was in the prequel trilogy. And you seem to have a split in the fan base. What a surprise in Star Wars. But that's, you know, what happens when a franchise goes over across multiple generations.
Yeah.
There's two camps to this. Which one did you prefer? And then, of course, there's the Star Wars fans that go, I just love everything. Put Star Wars in it, and I love it.
Good, nothing is. What a boring life.
That's to me, but you know, everybody's different, and I kind of say live and let live. If you love everything Star Wars, more power to you. Good for you. I like what I like, and I like what I don't like. I'm a big Star Wars fan because, you know, and as are you, because it was the original trilogy that captured our attention. We loved it to bits. We obsessed over it. And you know, as much as people might slag off the combat in A New Hope, I mean, I think you and I could both agree, like, remember that version where they redid it? You know, I mean, that could be quite cool if done on a if Star Wars was made now again, but the way it was filmed with old men bone sticks about basically in 1977 or well, 76 when they were probably kind of shooting it. It wasn't that great, but I genuinely think the lightsaber battles, and a lot of people disagree with this, and Empire and Return of the Jedi are superior to pretty much anything else.
Oh yeah, especially Return of the Jedi with the emotional aspect because thrown into it.
I don't need to necessarily see just crazy combat, right?
The repeating moves like people are seeing on screen right now, the same move again and again.
The way it's shot, and you know, when in Empire, when Vader, you hear the breathing and the smoke comes up, you know. Mm-hmm.
The atmosphere.
You are not a Jedi. And you just get that, he's going to get his ass kicked here. And he does. Do you know what I mean? And Vader toys with him. And then the kind of reverse of that that we see in Jedi, where Vader wants Luke to beat him. You know, he's not really, you know, going at him hammer and tongs, whereas Luke's kind of doing that. The sequel trilogy, because it was often Rey versus Ben Solo, there was emotion in it, and it worked better than the prequels, but the prequels a lot of the time was just good guy versus bad guy without there being any kind of particular emotional connection between them. And that was fine when we watched, and
I hate that moment, Phantom Menace.
You know, we both liked the Phantom Menace fight.
Yeah.
You know, that's good. Yeah. And
then it just went overboard it after level. That.
After that, they went too overboard, and it comes to its climax for us in Revenge of the Sith, Obi-Wan versus Anakin, because it's instead the should be the most emotional fight of all of them, really, because it's master versus kind of student, friend versus friend, and there's nothing, there's no dialogue in it. It's just spinning and shaking and all that sort of stuff.
I've got it playing on the screen for everyone, and I know people. But look at their faces, and look at the one part where they actually do punch each other. This could have been a outright brawl. They know each other so well that they can match each other's moves. That's stupid. Because if you know their moves, you're not going to try to do the same thing. No, you're just like they describe in the novels and stuff. The Force does tell you a bit what the other person might be doing if they're not, you know, manipulating and hiding their emotions
and stuff.
It's literally this. It's the same parry strike, and there's times where there's no attempt to get around the other person's defenses or anything.
Any sword fight in the world will tell you, why would you ever spin your sword behind your back? It leaves you basically defensive. All it would have took for one of them one point was to go psych. And it's game over. Do you know what I mean? And that was the end of that. But that's something that a Monty Python sketch, you know, and it doesn't work for Star Wars. It just didn't work for me. But for some people, they love it.
Yeah. The other big question for me on this is how Vader in that suit cannot do all the crap he was doing in Revenge of the Sith. And
we should probably put the quote in because we've not actually talked to the
prequel. Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
So this is what Hayden said, by the way. We're more in line with the prequels than we are with how the fights are in the original trilogy. These characters have aged, but not that much yet, he explained. Carry on.
I was gonna say the biggest part about this thing again goes to butting up against that canon in 4. We know why the fights are slower in episode 4.
Yeah.
Production. You couldn't even do the stuff they did in Empire.
They didn't have any money, you know.
Exactly. And that's fine. I accept that. But getting into Vader in 4 or in 5 and 6 and Empire and Jedi, it's better, but he's still, it's more traditional stage sword play than what we get in the prequels. Here's a fear.
I think he's fighting Luke, and Luke's not that experienced. I think we excuse it a little bit more. Yeah.
But now I have this fear that Obi-Wan's gonna beat him bad enough again that it explains why he's not as flashy in the future. I don't. I'm not saying they will, but like that's the type of stuff that. Oh my god!
One leg left, not anymore.
The Black Knight and Monty Python. Yeah, it's kind of, it brings up that whole point of why, man, why. Why all the other stories we could have done with Obi-Wan, all to get this. And look, guys, I can't say it enough. I hope it's good. I hope I love it. I hope it shatters every fear that I've got, and that it's perfection. I really do. I'm not like against this, to where it's like never. No, these are just my fears and concerns. Yeah. And I'll say this. I don't want to bring up the clip because I don't know how to do these social media posts without all the audio going through. But Ewan and Hayden, during a recent press event, were talking about reception of the prequels and how you know, the prequels were kind of aimed more at kids when they first came out. But none of the grown-ups, teens, really cared for them. Now those kids are grown up and they like them, and they're like, oh, our movies are liked again.
Yeah.
Most of the kids that were, you know, between, I would say, 12 and 15 that I knew, because I was 14, so you got a couple kids, you know, in sixth grade but below me, and kids in eighth, ninth grade, either, you know, above me or whatever. Dude, other than like the 8, 9, 10-year-olds, the teens didn't really care for it much more. Maybe not as bothered, especially didn't care for episode 1. Probably liked 2 and 3 better. Maybe three the most. But like, I'm happy for them. But it kind of goes back to that thing where I'm always saying, like, Star Wars was all ages. No one can look at 4 or 5 or even the majority of 6 minus the musical number at the start and the Ewoks and go, that was meant and aimed and designed for kids. No, it was designed for all ages, plays for all ages. And then all of a sudden, man, Star Wars just keeps going for the lowest common denominator. Kids, it's frustrating.
It did for a while. And I think the sequel trilogy was almost a conscious decision to go against that. It was like J.J. Abrams said, no politics, none of this, you know, crap that everybody says they didn't like about the prequels. But as we've said before, it wasn't the politics that were a problem.
No,
the execution, the delivery, the writing, you know, all of that was a problem. The overuse of green screens and the fighting styles. Yeah, I think we just have to accept at the moment that there is absolutely a crowd out there that love the prequels. It's just not us. But what my hope for this show is that it bridges a gap for people like us, because it doesn't seem like a kid's show. It seems more in tone with Mando than it does episode 1, for example.
I hope so.
And my hope, therefore, for the fighting style is, yeah, I don't want them to fight like they would have in A New Hope, because that be kind of silly, you know, but yeah, I don't I want agree. It to quite be prequels. I want this, my hope for this show is that we get that proper fight, you know. It will never be quite, it will still always be a disappointment because we never had them before Vader get in the suit of in the proper, you know, an emotional fight, but to see Darth Vader and Obi-Wan fight again, I want it to be kick-ass, I want it to be cool, but I want there to be a lot of speech between them. And it as I well. Like, I don't want them to be silent and just going at each other. Again. Depending on what happens. I mean, obviously, one of the things we revealed is that they fight twice. We've been backed up that by some other insiders, or maybe we backed up other insiders that said it first. I don't necessarily know these things, but it doesn't matter. The point is, we're pretty confident they fight twice. And the first time doesn't go so well for Obi-Wan. But I think without... We haven't seen the show, but without spoilers, we all know it doesn't go really badly for Obi-Wan in this.
No, that's another problem with the show. It's like it's like the Titanic all over again. We know the boat's going down.
Yeah, but you know, in every Marvel movie, that, you know, most of the time, you know, except the end game Infinity War type situations, you know, the big, big ones that, you know, the hero's always going to live in. You know, James Bond's never going to get killed, and then they did it in the last film. But, you know, you get the idea. The heroes aren't going to die anyway.
Definitely.
It's not a major thing. But,
to a degree, but this one's a little bit more annoying because, like I said, you know that there can't even be any big bodily harm or any major character changes that lead up to the original trilogy. While
I still think Anakin could lose the last leg. I don't think we've ever seen him like in any canon things. I know we've seen his head and parts of his torso. Have we ever saw if he's still got that one leg he had?
Maybe
in the canon, I don't know. That'd be quite funny.
Before we take the break, did you ever see the? I shared it in our Discord. Everyone should check out and join our Discord. A link in the description box down below. Did you see the corridor? The corridor crew lightsaber duel that they did. It's really good.
I never
it's
watched
called
it this time, but I've seen it. Okay. You shared it with me previously.
I love it because they use a lot of actual kendo in it and other sword techniques and show how you can really make this non flashy duel more flashy with the cinematography. Exactly, with the music, cinematography, the aesthetic. And it's such a great duel. I'm playing it on screen. This is the benefit for everyone to subscribe to the YouTube channel. I try to put the clips and stuff we're discussing about on screen as we're talking about them.
Sorry if you haven't put
that. I want something like that in Kenobi. I want something like the sequel trilogy. I can already hear people, the disappearing weapon. Guys, CGI mistakes happen all the time. Knife issues in Captain America Winter Soldier, Falcon and Winter Soldier. He's Captain America now, but the show is Falcon and Winter Soldier. Even to this day, using CGI weapons or using any weapon at all and using multiple takes in a choreographed fight, you're going to run into times where you need to delete a weapon or you know, modify the CG a bit. But the sequel trilogy duels had weight to them.
Mm-hmm.
Physically even they seem to have weight with the burden of the duels going on. It's
I like them. I really enjoyed some of the duels actually, and the sequel trilogy. That's one of the aspects I think they got right.
Anyways, we'll take a quick word from our sponsors, come back and talk a bit about Ahsoka.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. The Grow Generation commercial team is armed with industry-leading professional consultants. Grow Generation's team will help you fully manage any size or scale project. They offer turnkey facility designs, cultivation room design, and on-site project consultation. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to.
And thank you, Grow Generation. Hopefully I didn't cut whoever was doing the read off too early. Thank you, Grow Generation, for sponsoring the episode, guys. Link for them down below. So, some Ahsoka casting news. Cam, do you want to tell us news?
I suppose we should kind of start off with the fact that it started filming this week. And we got the official kind of... we've been saying for a while on the Cantina, we've not really published anything out of it, but we've been saying they have been filming some stuff for Ahsoka. It's just not, this is principle started, so actual actors are going to show up, you know, the big actors are going to show up for the daily shooting and stuff like that, and that's all begun now with the directors, but though I don't know what they were shooting, but there was some stuff had been getting shot on stage for Ahsoka, we were told. It's all up and running, and there's a new rumor that came out from Daniel Rickman on his Patreon. Actually, Daniel reached out to us a few days prior to this and was asking a couple of questions about something. I don't know if that was related, but anyway, it's a private conversation, so we won't get into that too much. But Daniel Rickman says that Matthew Law, who I don't remember him actually, but apparently he was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I've watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Have I watched them all, though? Maybe he was in one of the final seasons and I've not seen that. I don't know. But he is he has been cast in. Now, Rickman claims it's quite a major role within the show. I'm kind of not so sure about whether I would. I mean, not that I know anything specifically, that's not what I'm saying, but I just find it hard to believe that he's more of a character actor to me. He's like a secondary character mm-hmm. rather than somebody that's really ever been a star. So I'm not sure how major a role it would really be. As well, if it was that major a role, would the trades have not got it? Like they got Sabine Wren and all the other kind of proper like recurring cast members that are going to be in this show. But hey, who knows? Who knows? We'll just need to wait and see how that works out. That's all it is, that he's got a role in the series. There's no other information kind of really shared by Rickman on his Patreon service. There was some talk online. It is just pure speculation. And, you know, nobody's actually claiming to know anything but speculate. But I know Adam Frazier, a Slash film, had said he wants to make it clear that it's just speculation on his part, that he thinks Law could be playing Ezra Bridger in Ahsoka. And he doesn't think Mina Massoud could be playing him because the character's currently filming another film. Mm-hmm. No reason to think any different from what we've already talked about before. We had heard Mina was playing in Ahsoka. What I would say is we have no idea. We never said he would be in Ahsoka even.
No, that's we were assuming.
We just assumed that was probably the case. That being said, there's no guarantee that Ezra is actually a major character within the Ahsoka show, considering we know the show is probably going to be. This isn't me like giving code and saying, oh, you know, LRN said that we're not going to see much Ezra.
We could be 100% wrong. Could happen.
Pure speculation on my part. All I'm saying is that it's quite possible, I think this will necessarily happen, that Ezra could be like a 1 second cameo at the end of the final episode where she finally finds Ezra and he turns around and goes, blah, 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 blah. You know, obviously not that, but you know what I mean? Just that kind of stinger
for
what comes next. We genuinely don't know. But I do not think that
this guy is
Matt Law has been cast as Ezra. It just doesn't feel right to me. And I've got no. I'll be honest, sources have been very tight-lipped at the moment, I think, because of the amount of leaks that's been coming from other places. A lot of people are getting a little bit scared. So we haven't had a lot of kind of new stuff recently, but we've not heard anything different from what we already posted. And I guess we'll just wait and find out, because I think it's not a role that I would expect them to suddenly turn around and announce at Star Wars Celebration or anything like that. I just don't think that'll happen. If we're wrong, we'll go, hey, and we'll talk about when it happens, and we'll see the way it pans out. Anything else you want to kind of say on Ahsoka, the fact that it started and... You know,
I'm scared of it more than I am Obi-Wan, because time travel.
Yeah, I'm worried about time travel. I don't like time travel in Star Wars. It was the one aspect of I really enjoyed the later seasons of Rebels, but I didn't like that. And I just have to be honest, it wasn't for me. So I'm hoping that's to a minimum and it doesn't go crazy. But I guess we're just going to have to wait and see. I like the idea of Ahsoka searching the galaxy for Ezra and finding him, and he's been withdrawn the whole time and stuff like that. That's a cool idea. Just stay away from the time travel stuff, please.
Yeah.
Don't know if it'll happen.
Anywho. There's one last group of stories to chit-chat. Mm. Maybe we'll be able to keep this under an hour today. Michael Waldron, hot off the heels of his... apparent success with Multiverse of Madness, is writing the Kevin Feige Star Wars movie, and recently talked a bit about how it's not servicing a bunch of shows or movies like he had to with Strange.
It kind of became news this week almost that Michael Waldron had finally revealed he really was. He did that a long time ago. We already knew officially from his own mouth that he was writing Kevin Feige's Star Wars movie. But there was writing it and writing it. I think the difference now is he's actually started writing it, whereas he was just, ah, yes, Mr. Feige, I agree to write this film for you. I've got some ideas. Or maybe he was quite happy with some of the ideas that Kevin had. But here's what he said in a recent chat with Variety. Okay. We're finally into it in earnest. I mean, I'm writing away. It's a lot of fun. I'm enjoying having the freedom in that to do something that's not necessarily a sequel or anything. It maybe has a little bit less of a... It just doesn't have a bunch of TV shows and movies that you're servicing on top of it the way I did with Doctor Strange. So it's nice. It feels like a different exercise. Which, when you take it in the context of Star Wars, him saying that it doesn't have a bunch of TV shows and movies, but, you know, Star Wars does have a bunch of TV shows and movies that are all servicing a kind of larger story. So while he doesn't come out and say it, he does specifically say it isn't a sequel to anything, mm-hmm. So that's confirmed. And it kind of sounds to, I think, most people that have read this quote as if he's saying it's not really connected to other stuff within the franchise.
Outside of, it's Star Wars. Yeah. I like that. It's what you and I have wanted. For a while is go see something new, something different.
That's why we like Mando almost, you know. Yeah. I know Mando has got connections, but it was still its own story. You know, it wasn't about the Sky. I know the Skywalkers are in it now and kind of things like that, but it's not their story. It's the story of this guy, the Mandalorian, Din Djarin, and his journey, and ultimately Grogu as well, and the paths that he chooses. But yeah, absolutely. You know, something we've talked about way in the past, way in the future. Go for it. You know, it's doable. There's a reason everybody loved the what is it, the Ninth Jedi? The vision shot, was it the Ninth Jedi? Is that what it was called?
Yes.
I can't remember.
Yep.
The reason everybody loved it is because it was mysterious and weird, mm-hmm. and we were all wondering what's happened, because it was all set in the future, you know, as if it was
Jedi
hundreds
are missing.
And
no
hundreds
one knows
of
how to
years
make
in the future.
And, yeah.
The galaxy's in a completely different place. That was interesting, you know, because we just don't know where the story's going to go, and it gives us that sense of excitement again. And unlike the Marvel Universe, it has to be a little bit more contained than that. Star Wars isn't a...
Yeah.
It's not one central story necessarily. Mm-hmm. It's a created universe that you can go and just play in at various different periods and still make good stories.
Yeah.
So it does sound good. But
yeah.
We'll wait
like I said, I've wanted them to pick a direction and go 1,000 years past or present.
Mm-hmm.
1,000, not 200, not 100.
I'd the 200 as well, but yeah.
Maybe 200 in the future, because the 200 years ago past that they're screwing around with isn't all that exciting to me. But it's again not made for me. All the High Republic stuff is that kid stuff.
Somebody could do adult stories within the High Republic period.
You could,
be good,
but they're not.
You know, not so far. No,
they're we'll not. See. So well, yeah, we'll have to wait. We'll have to wait. And see what shakes out.
Yeah,
it's
interesting.
Hope it's
and the
good.
Reason, the other thing that Michael Waldron had basically said is this is kind of he kind of hinted as the reason he's not writing or the head writer on Loki season two, because obviously he was head writer on Loki season one. But he was talking about how he can't really focus on too many projects at the one time. So he's kind of Loki straight into Multiverse of Madness. And now he seems to be taking a bit of time to write the Star Wars movie. And I think if you're being asked to write a Star Wars movie for Kevin Feige, I don't think he should be focused on too much else. But he's still going to have a hand in Loki season two. He's still going to be involved, but it's just not all on his plate. His friend and colleague is taking over instead.
Yeah. We'll see what shakes loose. I like Loki. I like most of Multiverse of Madness in and of itself, as far as what's written. I have my issues with how the movie just kind of doesn't push the universe forward much, but that's not necessarily on the writer himself. He adapted the story he was kind of given.
Multiverse
given,
of Madness feels like a movie, even before I've seen it. I obviously doing my job, I know the spoilers anyway, that was almost written by committee, and there was a lot of things that were supposed to be in it, and they were taken out. And that's kind of how Marvel does things. But like, they've talked about how in Moon Knight they had all these plans, but they just went, fuck it, and just did their own thing. And that's what made Moon Knight good. And I wonder whether it was maybe just too many fingers in the pie. And Doctor Strange, for me, you know, it sounds like it's just not a great sequel to Doctor Strange. A movie about Strange and his journey, but I haven't seen it yet, so I'll still watch it.
When the movie ends, the universe, the multiverse even really isn't all that different. It really isn't. And that's the most disappointing thing about that movie. I won't go into any specific spoilers. I'm just saying not a lot changes. So,
but yeah, I mean, I love Loki.
Loki was good.
I kind of have hopes. I'm not going to say I'm getting old because I get old like, I can't wait. This is going to be great when Rian Johnson got The Last Jedi, and then I ended up not liking the movie. So, you know, I'm never going to get absolutely crazy about anyone ever again until they've proved to me that they can work within the Star Wars universe.
Names don't matter.
But, fingers crossed, who I am confident of is the guy producing it, who is Kevin Feige. And I just don't see him producing a shit Star Wars film. He's got no rush. No. You know, he's going to want to make sure it's done right. And he's picked Michael Waldron because he believes he's the guy that can write that story for him and write a killer story. So I have hope, absolutely.
Yeah. And guys, I think that'll do it for this week. I wanted to keep it under an hour, and I shall do so by telling you guys all about the great website lrmonline.com. We got news aggregation and our opinions on those new news articles. We've got leaks and rumors. We've got interviews, reviews, written reviews, not just podcast reviews, all sorts of stuff, comic books, video games, toys. Christine today wrote on, dude, they got a transforming Legos now, like Transformers Lego. That transform.
So you build it and then it can transform.
Yes!
You've built it.
Yes! Isn't that cool?
I just assumed it was either robot or truck.
You can transform it after building it. Yeah. So we cover everything at the website. All of the podcasts go up on your favorite podcast app, Google, Spotify, Apple, SoundCloud. If you listen to podcasts on an app, we're there for free. So look up Genreverse Podcast Network and follow us. Great shows covering Star Wars here on the Cantina. A little bit of everything with Breaking Geek Radio, anime on Anime Versal Reviews, and of course Marvel on Marvel Multiverse Mayhem. We just did pause for review on phase 4 after Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah, I've started to watch that show because I'm interested to see what you guys thought of that.
Yeah. All of those go up on our YouTube. Hit the red subscribe button, the bell, I guess, if you're into that thing. Also do trailer reactions on the YouTube channel, part of the Genre Shot. So yeah, check those out. The Resident Evil show, I did the reaction to a trailer today. There was a teaser yesterday that I didn't even know about, and the teaser was actually better. Not that this trailer was bad. I'll tell you what, that looks better. That looks not that it will be, but it looks better than any of the movies since the first one.
To me, that's low-hanging fruit, though. I mean, I dead know any of those movies.
Well,
but the trailer does look good, and I think Resident Evil always had potential as a story because the games have a good story.
Yes. So. And the one thing about the first movie, I'll say this. It is a great zombie movie. It's an awful Resident Evil movie. If you like action zombie flicks, first Resident Evil flick is awesome. It's awful as a video game Resident Evil movie. Anyways, I'm at that Kyle Malone on Twitter. Cam, where can people find you at?
If you at @LRM_Cam, and if when Kel was saying, oh, we cover everything, and you were getting angry and going, no, you don't cover this thing, I love come and cover it for us. Let us know. Contact me. Give us a shout in Discord. Contact me on Twitter. Or you can find our email addresses on the website, because people spam us all the time, so they must be freely available. And, you know, give me a shout and let me know if you are interested in covering the things that you like to do for the website. We're always looking for more cool people to join us. And yeah, like Kyle said, join us in Discord for a chat if you want to talk Star Wars, movies, just general geeky shit. We're all on there chatting with all the other readers. Come join us.
Yep. And with that, guys, have a good one. We'll talk to you next week. May the Force be with you.